I'm dealing with all the need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Not just a little talking in tongues, but a divine intervention of God into our lives. I never thought I would tell you this, but I'm telling you this tonight. That for the last little while, I have been observing you, and I've been listening to you. I've been listening to you sing. I've been listening to you pray. I've been watching and observing different times in your life. The Bible tells us that we are to examine ourselves. I think it's good every now and then that the pastor, not critical, but observes what's going on. I have observed something in this, and that is that we are in need. We are in need of the Holy Spirit. I think it's great to be able to sing a song, but there's nothing I've seen in the Holy Ghost. It's great to be able to pray, but it's great to be able to pray in the Spirit. Just to be able to reach out that extra weight, that extra distance from what we do normally. That there is a desperation that comes into our lives that says, oh God, I must be filled with the Spirit. I must sing in the Spirit. I must pray in the Spirit. I must, in everything that I do, I must do it with all of my life, all of my heart, all of my body, all of my soul, all of my spirit. This morning we looked at four interventions. They're all through that form and body. And God calls the Spirit to brood over the face of the people. We're not in the need for transgression came. We needed an intervention. As much as we did with the Spirit of God in creation, we needed that move of God's Spirit when we lost everything. You didn't just lose something. It was all gone. On the day of Pentecost, he said, you go and tell until you be filled, until you be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Not a little touch here and there, not talking in tongues here and there, but a baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we will talk, we will deliver the coming of the Lord Jesus. I want to pick up on some of these things here today. You've already heard from me, which you already know, and that is, there has never been a crisis, there's never been a problem, there's never been an issue, but what God did not enter into that time of a crisis with the move of the Spirit. There has never been a greater need than this one. Never been more of a yearning in the heart of the believer for the real old-fashioned move of God than it is in this one. I'm tired of the games. I'm tired of the make-believe. I'm tired of the you've got it one day, you don't have it the next day. I mean, you're crying and pouting and having the time of your life. One day and the next day, you don't even know whether you're saved or not. That's not the goings of God. That's not the divine work of the Holy Spirit. That's not the way God does it. When He fills, when He touches, that touch remains. That touch abides. I'm glad to tell you tonight that in the very first act of creation, the Holy Spirit was active. And so, and God said, let there be, and there was, a divine, holy, in-depth work of the Holy Ghost. I know somebody says, I don't know why you bring that up now. Because three times in your Bible, God tells you that there are things that groan. The creation groaneth, right? We live in the 21st century, but we are living in a groaning creation. The Bible says we do. men and women are growing. That's why we have so much alcoholism, so much drug addiction, so many other things. Man is growing. Creation is growing. We don't know what we're going to do. We don't know where we're going to go next. But God always had a divine intervention when this earth was in crisis. And we are in crisis tonight as much as we've ever been in our lives. We need a church full of the Holy Spirit. We need a youth group full of the Holy Ghost. We need moms and dads full of the Holy Ghost. We need musicians anointed with the Holy Spirit. We need gifts, fruits. I said this morning, we go through our forms of religion, but that's not where God is. He's not in the form. He's in the life. He's in the reality. You let one more move of God come on this earth, like it did when it was in the form of God, like it did when God moved in the beginning. Let there be one more move of God like there was on the day of Pentecost. Let there be a shaking. Let there be an awakening. And that's what I'm telling you, that you and I are the key. We're filled with the Spirit. We have it. But God wants us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. What would be the condition of me if God did not intervene with the fall of man? What would it be when God takes up to do a work? When God begins to move? I was listening the other day to some more preachers, and they were talking about revival in the past when God moved greatly. I'm trying to think of the name of that revival. Somebody help me. Everybody in the town was a drunk. Everybody in the city took his life. Everywhere. They were criminals. No Christians there. But the God took one man and told him to go to that. He still hadn't come. The name of the man. But he was the one of the man. Go! He had revivals scheduled. He began to cancel them. Where are you going? I'm going to preach revival. I'm going to preach revival. Who invited you? Nobody. Who asked you to go? No one. God is sending you to that place. He went. You know the story. We told it here. That when God began to move by His Spirit, everything in that city, in that countryside, everyone there were converted. Everyone there was saved by the grace of God. Everyone there began to cry out to God, delivered from the alcoholism, delivered from the drug addiction, delivered from their adultery. Why? Because the entrance of God's Word gives light. And that's what God's trying to do with us. Is we would see that revival that we say we want to see. But for someone to tell you that, we've got to take it a lot more to heart than we have up to this point. We've got to call out to God. God reacted to a world in that form of God. God reacted to a people that had gone away. God reacted in the time when we needed an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. 400 years? 400 years? Without the voice of a prophet. Without someone to cry. But when men began to cry out to God, there came an outpouring of God's Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They were hot. How many of them feel everyone? What were they baptized with? The Holy Spirit. What happens? People hear. People pray in their language. People absolutely know for certain that God is moving. Something's happened in the city. something is happening everywhere, but only about 120 will cry out to God. I'm preaching to you tonight that He said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. How many of you would like to see a real effect in your life and ministry? When you've been in this twisted way as long as you have, you're not trying to recreate something, but you know what it was when it was real. You know what it was. I've seen children under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I've seen our young people in this church give messages in tongues, interpretations, and prophecies. Maybe you've not seen it, but I have. It was real. It was genuine. But there was a youth group surrendered to Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. I one time thought I had committed the unforgivable sin because I wanted what the score was in high school football. You can get so close to God, you can get so real in your relationship with God, that only those things are the realities about anything in this. My God, if we could just come to this place where we know that we have no energy, we have no trail, we don't have it. You know why? Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of life, and He is the one that gives life. And there is life in the Spirit of God. He is the agent of power. He is everything that we need. Let me take us back a little bit further. I'm talking about how we need to be good, and we're going to pray again. The Holy Spirit of God gave some directions that we don't often think about. He said, this is what He was saying. Don't go preach. Don't go preach. He's even saying, don't go witness. Well, that's the Spirit of life and the power of God. We're nothing but standing grass and kicking things. He said, go and tell. He didn't say go and preach. He said, go and tell. He didn't go and say, strike up your instruments and witness to everybody on the street. He knew that the life and the power of the Holy Spirit, whatever they would do, would amount to nothing. Well, it comes to use to get appearances all the time. We don't need to protect our kids from that world. We need to let them down with traps, put them out on the street as a witness. You're looking at me strange, but I'm used to it that way. How many of you remember the name of a man by the name of Art Linder? Art Linder. Some of you do. Art moved here from Minnesota. My brother comes in and every weekend, just about every weekend, our youth group, we would come out and we would witness. Have an arms down system. We'd just go out in the parking lot, go out and they may know what to do. But everywhere you would go, I went on that particular trip, they were there immediately. And it started raining. And that group of youth said to Brother Art, we come down here to witness. If we leave this equipment up in this driving rainstorm, we're going to ruin our equipment, everything else. I'm still out there, you know that too. He said, God, cause this rain to cease. And we never want to do that. He said, I don't believe that. If you don't believe that, how can you believe the record that God gave to the flood? How can you bring who's the same yesterday, today, and forever? We need to see some miracles. We need to see some answers to prayer. I mean, he was there. He's been dead for a long time. He and I got us in a raggedy tent, and we put it up over in Mauricio. Do it. We would alternate preaching. Different nights. One night I felt like I had struggled in trying to preach. I said, on the way back, We have somebody who wants to see me. I said, no. I feel made a mess tonight. He said, what does it mean? What does it mean? He said, did you preach like that? You felt like I'm going to preach. Did you pray about it? Did you surrender everything to God? Did you put everything in? He said, in whom the heck do you think you are? To say God didn't leave his word. I was telling Stephen the other day, we used to go up to the living room, put on that coat frame, hook up that PA set, witness and preach. And the guy that was in jail in Livingston, Texas, that could only hear us as we were leaving church. God saved him. He gave his life to God in that prison, in that county jail. We are not believing enough. Can I tell you this? God said, prove me. Did God say that? Prove me. I don't believe God's an exhibitionist. I do believe that God is respected. God said, don't do anything until you pray to me. That's what I'm saying. Don't do anything. You can't. You won't. We don't have time for it. We've got too many plans and too many things that we believe that we can do. But what we need is we need to tarry until we get the commandment of God. Just cry out until God hears us. The motto of the whole thing is Jesus is coming. There is an accountability on my part and your part. But the fact is, God will never ask us to do anything unless He gives us the power to do what He wants us to do. And the power of God is not in me, but it's in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I do not tell you that we must be filled with the Spirit of God. I have things here in the news that I'm bringing up, but I want us to pray. You remember a man by the name of Abraham, of course you do. But in his life, nothing was ever done. The Spirit of God spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to the people. I feel how it works. Just in that run by a deacon board, an elder board, just not run by a pastor board. Just in some leadership and the workings of God Almighty. And God still talks. God still moves. And He still wants to move in us. I was blessed by that prayer meeting this morning. As we gather in these altars, we pour our heart out to God. I've been asked by people to know, we're going to have the fast day tomorrow, or we're going to have the good prayer day tomorrow. Of course. Of course. That's what we're calling out to. Is that God wants to touch us, minister to us, use us, and raise that He will. Well, Jesus, would you stand with me, please?